Okay, well, what I'm going to share with you tonight, I've titled A Vital Ministry in the Body of Christ. A vital, and vital means living, right? A living, an important part of the ministry in the body of Christ. So, there is a certain type of personal ministry that is very important in the body of Christ and in the fellowships when the church meets. It's great to have this ministry functioning. Even as believers get together on an individual basis, this particular ministry is great to see in action. Now, this particular ministry that I want to share with you is not listed as part of the five gift ministries in Ephesians, but it's a ministry that, again, is very significant and of great value in encouraging the saints. And now some people are pretty adept at this, and some maybe not as adept to it. Certainly the world and what we hear from day to day really works against this ministry, but as we exercise this, and we all can exercise this particular ministry, it'll be a great blessing to the body of Christ and to the fellow saints. So you're probably asking, okay, Bob, let us have it. What is this ministry you're talking about? Well, before I tell you, I think the reason that we don't really talk about this ministry and recognize it so much is that the key word that describes it is not used in the King James Bible in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, the word that describes this ministry is not used one time. Now, in some of the other I've checked some of these other translations besides the King James, and they do use this word a number of times. In the Old Testament, I think it's used 8 times, again in the King James Version, and much more in some of these other translations, like the NIV and the ESV, and there's so many different translations. But it's great that they're using this key word that reflects this particular ministry. So I haven't told you yet what it is, have I?
Yeah.
All right. The ministry I'm talking about is being an encourager. An encourager. One who encourages others to a more worthy endeavor. You know, an encourager is one who helps, who aids, who comes to the assistance, that influences their brothers and sisters in Christ to learn the word, to walk the word, to share the word. There's nothing like a good encourager in the fellowships to build people up. Now, we had the manifestations, and they're, one of its characteristics is encouraging, isn't it? We certainly were encouraged to listen to God. He does speak to us. He does direct our steps. His love is there for us. So this is good encouragement. But I thought it was interesting that this word encouraging is not used in the King James Bible, and only 8 times in the Old Testament. But we're going to work it a little bit. And before we get to the scriptures, I want to share about a gentleman in the Garage Fellowship. I've told you about the Wednesday morning Garage Fellowship. These are retired coaches and athletes that get together a couple blocks from where I live, and they're associated with the college that is near me, Point Loma Nazarene University. And it was really neat today because one of them, Dan, was sharing how he has dedicated himself to help a fellow believer who has some issues going on that he's just before God and this fellow believer, he's going to assist and help him get through some issues. Several days ago, he went to Las Vegas with him to a specialist that was could be very helpful to the individual, but he went with him, and he's doing different activities with him. And I was just thinking when he shared that he was doing this, he's committed to do this, I thought, boy, here's an encourager. Here's one that's working this particular ministry of an encourager. You know, we all love to be built up and encouraged, don't we? And I shared with them, the garage group guys, and they know this because most of them were coaches. I said the most important thing a coach does and can do is to encourage their players. You know, and of course they want to win. The goal is to win. But really, a good coach on the level of high school and college, their heart, if they're good coaches, is to see those individual players better than they see themselves. They want to work with those individual players so they can be better than they think they are, and to work with them and so that they can have a better life in the future. So it was kind of neat sharing this with them in light of knowing that I was going to share this with you all tonight. Well, being a workman of the word, I think it's interesting sometimes to check the Greek words that are used from the Bible that are translated into the English that we know today. And so let me share with you the Greek word, the family of words that is translated encouraging, where some of the translators use that word. And it's parakaleo. And the parakaleo is the verb. Parakalesis is the noun. Another form of the word is parakletos. And the verb form is used 108 times, and it's translated beseech, comfort, besought, exhort. Okay? The noun form is translated some 29 times, and it deals with the comforter. You might be familiar with that term, the comforter, and that's the noun form of that, or consolation. So what do you think of one that's a comforter? It's got one that comforts, brings a quiet acquiescence to the situation or to the individual. But this word really, in the by definition, is one that is called together to help another, called to a person's side, like Jeannie's sitting next to me, and so we sit close. She comes side by side to my aid and to my help. That's literally what this Greek word means, okay? And though it's not translated encourage in the King James, it sure is in a lot of the other ones. But let's take a look in our Bibles. Deuteronomy, let's go there if you would. Deuteronomy 3, and look at a few of these uses in the Old Testament and how it's used in the Bible here. Now, of course, we're talking about the Hebrew language here, and this is translated encouraged in the Old Testament in the King James Version. So, Deuteronomy 3:28, and this verse is referring, if we looked at the context, referring to Moses, and Moses dealing with Joshua, they're ready to go over the Jordan into the promised land. So verse 28, but charge Joshua, this is God telling Moses what to do here, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land. And on the verse continues. But see, God wants Moses to charge Joshua and what? Encourage him. Encourage him. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, this is dealing with David, and there was a situation. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Again, the context here is in regard to David, and a situation has occurred where David and his followers, he wasn't the king yet, and Saul was still king, so David was operating independently, but a group of Amalekites came into the camp while David and the men were gone on a mission. These Amalekites came in and took the wives and the women and children and stole them away. And everybody was so upset, and his followers were so upset with David, they wanted to stone him. Well, how did David deal with this? So, David was greatly distressed, and all his soldiers, wives and children, taken by the Amalekites. But David, and here's the verse, I'm just sharing a part of the verse, but David encouraged himself in what? The Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In spite of all the criticism going on by everybody around him, what did he do? Where did he go? He went to his God Almighty, and he was encouraged in the Lord. And, of course, if you know the rest of the story, what happened? He got them all back, and he beat up the Amalekites pretty bad and had more than they took away. He took everything the Amalekites had. So it worked out very well. Well, let's take a look at the New Testament here and take a look at some of the places where this word, the Greek word that I shared earlier with you, parakaleo, and the other forms are used, okay? Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to grab my Bible. A lot of times I have these printed out in my notes, but this one I don't. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. All right? This centurion was what? Beseeching him. And this is this paraklesis, this word, exhorting him, coming to his side and saying, you know, help me. So he came beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and what?
Heal him.
Jesus said, I'll heal him. He's going to take care of the situation. And he did. Now the centurion answered, verse 8, and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Wow, that's pretty strong believing there. And he goes on to explain, the centurion, saying in verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This centurion believed so big for the deliverance of his servant that Jesus didn't have to come and lay hands on him or anything. He'd just say the word, Jesus, and he'd be healed. I think that's a great story of believing. But it all started with him coming to Jesus, beseeching him for Jesus to give him help. Now, another place this Greek word is used is in Luke 15:28, and this is the story the prodigal son story. Most people call it that. And so the son wastes away his inheritance, right? Mm-hmm. Comes back, and the father really takes him in and gives him a special coat and everything. And how was his brother? How did his brother react to this?
Right.
He was not a happy camper, was he? No. So this verse 28 mentions that. And he was angry and would not go in. He wasn't going to be a part of the party for his brother. Therefore came his father out and what? Entreated him. And what does that mean? Well, that's that Greek word to encourage him, work with him, come to his aid, help that brother out so that he can work through this situation. I think it's great that the father would come out and do this. Pretty neat. Now, in John 14, verse 16. This section here in chapter 14, really starting with verse 12, but I'm just going to read verse 16. I think most of you are familiar with this. Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them, the works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works because I go to my Father. And verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Well, what is another comforter? He wasn't talking about an extra blanket to put on the bed at night, right? No, he wasn't talking about that comforter. He was talking about an encourager. And that encourager he was referring to was, and he mentions this in verse 26, and he says, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit that you and I receive is an encourager. That Holy Spirit in us can work in us to encourage us. And we should have great expectations as we live our days and handle the situations day to day. Recognize that you have this encourager in you. God can tell you things. God can encourage you. Can say things that will let you handle each and every situation. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and there's other places in chapter 15, I won't go there, where this word comforter is used, referring to the gift of Holy Spirit that would come, but that is the encourager. So we've got the greatest encourager you can ever have. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 4, and it refers here to Barnabas, and again, I'm not going to read this verse. All I want to point out here is that Barnabas is called the son of consolation. Now, what does that mean?
Of encouragement.
Well, that word consolation is the Greek word. That's right. You got it. Is the Greek word we're studying. So he's the son of encourager. Barnabas is, that's what it means, an encourager. And I did some checking on there's a scientific word for the study of names. I forget what it's called. But I looked up Barney. Our brother Barney, bless his heart, comes from this Barnabas, and it says the name Barney in Hebrew is from Barnabas, and it means an encourager or a comforter. Hmm. So, and boy, when I think of our brother Barney, who has ministered here for some 36 years, and what he's done for the saints here and encouraged so many believers through the years. I mean, tears are coming to my eyes here. He's a super example of an encourager. And he's got the right name. Well, in Acts 9:31 is a statement about the fellowship of the early church. It's a neat statement. Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear or the reverence of God, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that word comfort is paraklesis, and that word family, and encourager of the Holy Spirit, and the encouragement of that Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. So again, the great reality of the Christ we have in us, that gift of Holy Spirit, that Spirit is an encourager. Pretty neat. Well, Acts 11:23, in this verse, it's referring to Barnabas, and it starts out, who, referring to Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. The word exhorted is this Greek word we're studying. He encouraged them. Barnabas was an encourager. That's his nature by the name of his name, right? Mm-hmm. So this verse is so neat how it lays that out. Encourage them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Boy, that's exactly what an encourager is. To exhort people that they would have a purpose of heart and cleave to the Lord. So Barnabas certainly had a ministry of encourager. But you and I all can be encouragers because we have that encourager spirit in us. You know, we can bless the believers. We can walk with God and think of our brothers and sisters, and as we interact with them, as we fellowship with them, we can build them up. We can come to their side and help and aid and work with them, encourage them. So, last fellowship, Monday, the Segovias, Al challenged the believers to do some witnessing on the phone. What he does, if you didn't hear it, is somebody, a marketing person might call on the phone, let's say, and talk to him. Well, he will start witnessing to him right there. You know, are you a believer? Are you interested in the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, what an easy...
Probably you if you listen to me, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
You're going to tell me your thing. I'm going to tell yours. So I think that's a great way to witness, hold forth the word. So I got a similar challenge, and that is to look every day, look to encourage somebody. Look, be an encourager. You know, we live in a world today, this natural world we live in. What is it that everybody does? They criticize. They're all upset. They're complaining all the time, right? I don't blame them because this crazy world is crazy. A lot of crazy stuff going on. But how are we going to fix it? With the encouragement of the love of God, right? That encouragement with the love of God, just like Barnabas did, right? With purpose of heart that they would cleave to the Lord. And that's what we can do. So I want to encourage you to do that, to really think about your ministry as an encourager and reach out to your brothers and sisters, other people, and encourage them, build them up, really work with them and help them come to the Lord. Well, tomorrow I want to do a part two to this teaching. There's a wonderful section in God's Word that really deals with this word encouraging, and we're going to look at it in depth tomorrow night. So hopefully you can join us. We won't be doing a face-to-face fellowship, but we will be on the conference call fellowship, and we'll get into part two. So, but bless your hearts. We'll close here for tonight. And so Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to work for you, to be encouragers. Father, thank you that you've given us the ability and the spirit by which we can help people, Father, in so many ways. We just walk with your guidance, your direction, and we can just do wonderful things to help people today. So thank you, Father, that we can see this and recognize it and then apply it in our lives. And I just pray for each and every person that's part of this fellowship tonight, that they can just walk out more and more being great encouragers. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.